With sinking approval ratings and the growing unpopularity of the war, President Bush faces quite a sales job this evening. It's a make-or-break moment for a president and the president's speechwriter. Michael Gerson was President Bush's chief speechwriter from 2001 until June of 2006. Following that, he was a senior policy advisor for the Bush administration. He joins us now in our studio. So glad you're here.
Glad to be with you.
So how does the president sell what might be an unpopular idea? Is it a time to sort of frame this with a lot of flourish in terms of language, or better a time to say it plain?
This is a different kind of speech. I don't think it should be primarily inspirational. The goal here is to make an argument that American sacrifice and resources are not wasted when they're being increased in this circumstance. That requires making a case, a logical case, that I think should be shorn of a lot of rhetorical flourish, should be direct, should be detailed, a case that success is both possible and necessary, and how you get there.
Sounds like you're describing a legal brief.
I think it might be close. You look at historical precedents, John Kennedy in the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's a marvelous speech, but a very unadorned, factual, informational speech about what America was going to do in a very difficult time of national testing. I'm not sure the problem with the American people right now is a morale problem. I don't think they need a pep rally. I think they need a theory, which is how are additional troops in this circumstance going to have results, and not just to be bucked up, but to be given the information necessary to make that judgment.
Where would you turn to for inspiration, and give me a sense of the themes that you would outline in the speech? What's your opening line?
I think you probably have to start with something fairly startling and say the approach we've been pursuing in Iraq has not worked. I think early in the speech you need a recognition, kind of the cold water of reality, in order to purchase the credibility for the rest of the speech.
You mentioned President Kennedy's speech. You noted also that this speech needs details. You have a critical ear. What will you be listening for?
Well, I'll be listening for a couple of specifics. He's going to have to make an argument of why the security of Baghdad is essential to the success of Iraq, why the old approach didn't work, and why the new one will. What leverage we have to make sure that the Iraqi government are participants in this effort and not spectators. You know, I think he's going to have to answer all of those questions and do it in a tone that's very forthright about past errors.
You know the president quite well. Mm-hmm. How difficult is it going to be for him to talk about failure and to talk about mistakes?
From everything I've heard, there's been a real shift in the way the president has approached these issues. I think that he is now much more engaged and skeptical of some of the military claims that have been made in the past, not because military leaders were poorly intentioned or foolish or evil, but because sometimes you try an approach and it doesn't work the way that you think it does, that it's going to. So I think there's been an internal shift. The president has become much more challenging in his approach to the planning process. And now, hopefully, this speech will be the public evidence of that, of a extensive bottom-up review. But I think the Americans will also hear tonight that the president does not believe that the situation in Iraq is lost.
Does it help if the president or his speechwriter develops some sort of phrase, potent language that would help the public sort of understand this, a sort of almost like an FDR moment? There's nothing to fear but fear itself.
I think the phrase clear, hold, and build, for example, which the Defense Department had some resistance to initially, turned out to be a very effective description of counterinsurgency strategies. It's not just going and killing the enemy. It's actually providing long-term security in neighborhoods. So sometimes a phrase can make it.
But you're talking about a phrase that would describe action on the ground. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, those phrases have quickly, you know, become fodder for late-night television, whether it's shock and awe or the coalition of the willing. I mean, in this case, I'm asking about something that will actually help the public grasp what the president is trying to sell.
Well, it'll be interesting if they use the phrase surge at all. You know, that indicates both a large and temporary increase. Several months ago, they used strategy for victory, trying to reinforce this idea that the goal is victory. But you're right, that can become easily caricatured. But it indicates something important about the nature of rhetoric. In this case, the words matter, but the outcomes matter much more.
Michael Gerson, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Good to be with you.
Michael Gerson is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and a former speechwriter for President Bush.